This morning I'm going to read from John 4, beginning at verse 1, and it's where Jesus talks with the Samaritan woman. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." And he told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You're right when you say you have no husband. And the man you have now is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. In case I've not met you before, my name's Rich, and I'm a member of staff here at St. Mary's Cogs, and it's really great to see you if you're new here for the first time. Particularly if you're new and you've not been with us the last few weeks, we are travelling through a series called Fruitfulness on the Front Line, and we're looking at how we live as Christians in our day-to-day. And we've heard a little bit about that earlier in some of the stories, about how that's impacted people and how they've made changes in the way they do life in the places of work, in the places we live, and people we spend time with. I want to just look today at how we show grace and love with the people that we spend our time with. And I want to just tell you a little story about one time when I was stopped by the police. And if you were asleep just then, now you've woken up, hopefully. It's not actually that exciting a story, but I'd not long learnt to drive and passed my test and had gone to a concert had got back into my car very late at night and started driving home with my friend in the passenger seat and saw the flashing blue lights behind me. I thought, oh no. And a young 17-year-old, here we go. I've done something wrong. I obviously missed something in my driving lessons that I was meant to pick up. And the police stopped me, pulled me over, and asked me to get into their car. And I was feeling a bit intimidated. And they made me aware that I'd forgotten to put my lights on. And it was a very well-lit town centre, so I was just not aware. And I could see my friend back in my car, sat there on the phone, and I found out he was basically calling all my friends to tell them that I was sat in the back of a police car. Now, the police were just really, really kind to me, and they showed me a lot of grace, and they just... we spent more time talking about the concert that I'd been to see, talking about Coldplay and how which songs we liked. And they showed me grace. They let me go. They didn't ask me to pay a fine or anything, even though really I'd broken the law. I was causing a risk to others and a risk to myself, and I deserved to face some sort of consequence. But they gave me just a friendly caution and let me on my way. They showed me grace, and that was good news for me. And grace is good news. Grace should be good news. And I wonder, given that as Christians we believe we have experienced God's grace, are you good news to the people you meet? When they meet you, if you meet someone this week, are they going to go away thinking, wow, that was so good to have met that person? I feel so good. There's something really amazing about that person. That's just left me wondering, what is it about them? We should be carriers of good news, just in the way we behave, in the way we speak, in the way we treat people. When we show mercy and grace and love to people, it is good news. It should leave a mark, an impression. And I wonder, are you good news to the people you meet, to the people you work with, to the people you live next door to? And I want to start today by looking at the point at which we are least likely to show grace and love. And that point is when we're probably tired. I don't know what you're like when you're tired. When I'm tired, I tend not to show a lot of grace and love. Maybe some of you are just wonderful people and you're just constantly just leaking grace and love, even when you're at your tiredest. We start this story that we've heard read with Jesus being tired. It says in verse 6 that Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. So Jesus had been on this long journey, and it says it was the sixth hour of the day, so that was about midday. It's the hottest point of the day. He's at his hottest, and he's most tired, and he's probably thirsty, and he just decides, I'm going to take a break. And he's in an area called Samaria, which is where a lot of Samaritans lived. And Samaritans were people that Jews, like Jesus, did not mix with. So this was a strategic break. He decided to stop. I would be interested to know how many of you who have a job in the week take a lunch break. And how long is that lunch break? How regularly do you take a break? I know it's so tempting now in the culture we live in, where people expect things of us now, expect us to do things according to their timetable. When there are financial pressures, we've got things to do. It's so tempting to just work through your breaks, to not take a lunch break. There was an interesting experiment recently with a company, a marketing agency in Liverpool, who decided they were going to change their 8:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. working day and swap it for a 9 o'clock to 4 o'clock working day with a mandatory lunch break. So all the employees had to start at 9 o'clock and go home at 4 o'clock, and they had to take an hour's lunch break in the middle of the day. And the experiment was, could they get the same amount of work done in that shorter time period? And interestingly, yes, they did. And what they found was they ended up having less meetings, because usually a lot of their meetings were to resolve problems that had arisen because they were tired and they weren't working efficiently and there was miscommunication. But as they found, after this experiment, they found that they were working much better together. They were showing each other a lot more grace and understanding, and communicated so much better to each other, such that they were able to get all that work done in a shorter time period. And people had a life outside of work. And I wonder, what is your work-life balance like? Are you able to show grace and love in the way you work at the moment, in the way you do life in the week? It even affects the way we do our shopping, doesn't it? I don't know if you're like me, but when I go to do shopping, occasionally when I do that, I'll go and I'll look for the shortest queue. I don't want to stand in the long queue. I'm constantly looking. Oh, that queue's slightly shorter than this one. I'm going to move queue, because we're always in a rush, aren't we? We're always ready to get to the next thing, desperate to move on. No time to just stop. Jesus decides to stop when he's tired. And I wonder, do you decide to stop and take a break? Because this break was no ordinary break. This lunch break was an opportunity for him to show grace to this woman who meets him at the well. This woman is a Samaritan. This woman is an outsider. This woman is a woman. And at that time, women were not expected to talk to men like this alone, especially not a Samaritan woman, especially given this woman had 5 husbands, and the man she was now living with was not even her husband. That might not be that unusual today, but back then, this was a taboo. And Jesus was breaking all sorts of barriers and taboos by just sitting there talking to her. This was an opportunity, a break, a lunch break to show grace to this lady. Do you take those opportunities in your days, in your working life? I'd just like us to watch a video clip, if we can, just to show how not much has changed. Back then, the Jews and the Samaritans weren't able to spend time with each other. Just wait a second, Peter. We go back to the beginning. Not much has changed these days, and this video clip illustrates this.
Would you mind sitting there? I'm saving this seat for my friend Ross.
You mean Dr. Geller?
Doctor? Well, I didn't know he had a nickname.
Oh, he won't sit here. Only the people in the white coats sit over there, and only the people in the blue blazers sit over here.
Well, how come?
That's just the way it is.
That's crazy.
Maybe it's crazy in a perfect world, a world without lab coats and blazers. But you not in a perfect world. You in a museum now. See that scientist with the glasses? He and I used to play together all the time in grade school. But now, Peter! Hey, Peter! It's me, Rhonda, from PS129. I shared my pudding with you, man. I gave you my snack pack. See, he pretend he don't even hear me.
I think everybody's pretending they don't hear you. Anyway, look, I don't know about you and your jackets and your separate tables, but Ross is one of my best friends. And if I save him a seat, I'm telling you, he will sit in it. Ross! Over here, man. I saved you a seat.
That's okay. I'm cool over here. I'll catch up with you later, Joey.
Oh, this is saved. Gift shop.
I love that show. I don't know what it's like at your place of work or the places where you spend time in the week, but are there Samaritans around? Are there people that you just actually prefer not to sit next to? Are there people that you do prefer to sit next to? Who are the Samaritans that Jesus is calling you to cross the social barrier and sit next to and have a conversation with? This is as much an issue, I'd say, in the church as it is outside the church. And unfortunately, you know, we have churches that are often full of people that are just the same. And that is not an expression of the church that Jesus has called us to be. Who do you hang out with? Who do you go and sit next to in church? Do you always sit next to people that are just like you? Do you look for a connect group with people just like you? When you go to for coffee, do you choose to go with people that are just like you? Do you sit next to people on the bus who are just like you? Who are the Samaritans that you could have a drink with? Showing grace and love means crossing social and comfort barriers. It's not going to be easy, but that's what we're called to. If you're going to follow Jesus, that's what we're called to. If you're going to ask for Jesus to come and live in your heart and to direct the way you live and to be Lord in your life, that's what it's going to be like, following Jesus. And he looks for the people on the outside. He looks for the people who are excluded. He looks for the Samaritans. He intentionally stops and takes his lunch break so that he can bump into the Samaritan. Finally, the only way we're going to get better at this is if we experience God's grace for ourselves and if we remember how far we've come. The reality was, this lady, this Samaritan woman, was a mess. Unfortunately for her, her story got into the Bible. Now we all know her story. I'm really glad they stopped the Bible at that point, because I really wouldn't want my story being out in the open. We are all a mess. We were once far off from God. We were once excluded on the outside, and Jesus came for you. He came for me. He came for us. He stopped by and sat down and offered us a drink. The only way we're going to be able to cross those social and comfort barriers and show mercy and grace and love to those on the outside is by remembering that Jesus did it to us first. He cleaned us up. And I just encourage you, if you've not experienced that grace from Jesus, that love that says, you are my child and I love you, and I want to stop and I want to give you a drink. I want to give you a drink of living water. This is what Jesus talks to this lady about, living water. It's like a wellspring that will rise up into eternal life. It's water that will wash you clean, that give you a fresh start, that'll help you live a free and light life. If you've not experienced that, then I encourage you, come and get some prayer after you've received communion. There'll be a prayer team down here, and they'd love to pray with you, that you'd experience that grace and love in your own life, because we're not going to show it to anyone until we've experienced it for ourselves. And if you've experienced it, but it was a long time ago, and you just need God to show you his grace again, then I encourage you, come and receive prayer this morning. Amen.